This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is
Fight Disciples.
One, two, get down. Paid the cost to be the boss. Paid the cost to be the boss. I paid the cost to be the boss. Look at me.
Welcome to the second episode in our favourite fight series. We are the Fight Disciples. If this is the first time you ever come across us, you can, of course, get us on iTunes. Just hit subscribe. You can get us on our website as well if you need an Android feed, fightdisciples.com. Now, I must stress, this little series is our personal favourite picks. There'll be people that are listening to this going, these lads are talking absolute shite at times. What's going on here? As if he's above that guy or this guy's not featured in this top five. Listen, hold your horses. Calm yourself down. Just listen to the wording. It's not top five. It is favourite five. And we make no bones for being biased because that's exactly what we are. And that's why we've got two awards on the shelf. All right? Leave it at that. Today, we are doing favourite fight comebacks. Now, with that, the stipulations are that this person must have been getting an absolute shellacking within a fight to then all of a sudden turn it round to come out victorious, whether that's a one-punch Hollywood knockout or whether it is making a fighter quit or whether it is turning it round after losing the first five rounds and ending up winning it on points. It's got to be a moment in the fight that flipped it on its head and came back from the jaws of defeat. So the likes of a Castillo Corrales, for example, that is a comeback within a round. The fight itself was pretty even. But if you look at that amazing round nine, yeah, all right, he's on his backside on a couple of occasions and he does turn it round. But it's only that 3 minutes that obviously you could talk about really for that fight because the rest of the fight was pretty even. We're talking about getting battered for the best part of a fight and then coming out with all and sundry to have your arm raised. And we're deciding to mix it up. We're putting a bit of boxing and a bit of MMA in the same show today, aren't we, boy?
Absolutely, man. Why not? Let's go balls deep on it. And I was tempted to go back in time, but I've only got really one, what you would call like halcyon days, golden age of boxing. I've kept it pretty modern. You know, most of these fights I either covered or have been during, you know, my stint. So basically the last 20 years. In fact, two of mine are from the last 12, 18 months.
Really?
How about that?
I'm just having a look at my list here, and I don't think I've got, yeah. The most recent one I've got is probably about 5-6 years ago, maybe a bit, a touch longer.
Okay.
Mine are all retro, baby. Mine are all retro.
You've gone old school. Okay, do you want me to kick things off then?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, I'm going to kick things off in the boxing ring. Let me take you back to March of last year. The Leicester Arena, it was a Frank Warren show on BT Sports.
I know exactly where you're going. I know exactly what you're doing. Listen, right, how many times have I told you about putting Scousers on this show?
I had to stick to my roots for the first installment.
It's a good comeback. It is
Yeah. Let's face it, he got dropped in the... It was a shock. He was matched against that Sabri Sederi for the WBO European Super Lightweight title. Super Sam gets dropped in the first, dropped in the second, and from there on out he was absolutely chasing the fight for 10 rounds. He was chasing the fight. He was obviously a million miles behind on the scorecards and he needed to find something. But you know what made this sweeter?
Go on.
It was Sederi's behaviour in that 10th round.
Yeah.
Showboating the way he was, putting his chin out, dropping his hands, basically goading Sam as if to say, listen, this win's in the bag. I've humiliated you. I've come over here and embarrassed you in your big moments, your big title fight. and I'm going to make off with it. And Sam Maxwell, I doubt he's landed a better right-hand in his entire career. Just bang, little jab, right hand over the top, straight on the chin. Sedeiri was out for the count in the 10th round as well. Seconds left on the clock. I think it was 15 seconds to go. That, mate, you can go back in the history of boxing for the last 100 years and you'll still struggle to find one that matches up to that.
To be fair, the guy was being a gobshite, and there's nothing better than putting a gobshite on his ass, especially when he's giving you a shellacking for 9.5 rounds.
So there he's joking wrong. He should be jumping all over him. I don't know why he's there. Well, one punch there and he'd have been down, surely. He thinks he's so far ahead. I think that's what it is, and he might be, but Sedeiri certainly believes he's won the fight. He's winning this round, that's for sure, John. And Maxwell looking a little bit groggy and a face which tells a story. Oh, great shot! Left hand, right hand from Maxwell. Well, where did that come from? I can hardly believe what I've seen. An astonishing turnaround. He gets to his feet and he stopped it. Sam Maxwell turns that fight around. And where did that come from? He looked as though he was spent. He looked as though it was all over. He looked as though one more big shot from Sedeiri and he'd be gone. And then he produced that. Quite extraordinary.
I can't believe that you didn't start with Danny Williams and Mark Potter. That's a comeback, son. The guy we're fighting with one bloody arm. For those that don't know about this, Danny Williams, of course, been in with Mike Tyson. Lots of people know that name. And in the fight, he was doing very well. He was actually winning this fight. But then all of a sudden, dislocated his shoulder. So he's fighting with one arm. He can only jab with his left arm. Obviously, he's coming out of an orthodox stance. He's got his left arm, so he's using the jab. He can't throw any big power punches, can't throw any uppercuts, can't throw any hooks, can't throw any finishing shots with that big right cross that Danny Williams became famous for. It's not available to him. And he's jabbing away. And obviously, he's losing. He ends up then falling behind on these scorecards to Mark Potter. They pop his shoulder back in. It comes out again. Honestly, the drama watching this, you're on the edge of your seat watching this. It's absolutely sensational stuff. You're thinking to yourself, the corner's got to pull him out. This is ridiculous. He's only got one arm. Surely the ref's going to stop this because it's just one-sided. There's no way that he can win the fight from here. Then, all of a sudden, he walks Mark Potter onto an unbelievable left uppercut. Bang, right on the whiskers. The kid goes over. One-arm bandit. That's a comeback, son. He's only got one arm tied behind his back. Boom. See you in a bit. End of chat. Danny Williams, beautiful.
Danny Williams holds on for dear life with Mark Potter. He's completely gone the shoulder. I don't know whether he's looking at the corner. Jim McDonald is surely going to have to pull him out.
Have to get him out.
He cannot fight on now, Danny Williams. He's now backed off in his corner. He's using one arm. Again, the guts of the Brixton fighter.
But this is too early in the round, Adam. He wants to get himself out of there. He's surely his corner have realised this. Look at his arm.
Well, I don't know what pain he must be going through in there, Danny Williams. But he hasn't even got a guard with that right hand. What's keeping him in this?
Adam, there's a difference between retiring with a bad arm and being knocked out, and he's going to get knocked out if he hasn't got a defence against these punches.
Absolutely. Look how far out the shoulder blade has come. For the second time, it's come loose in the fight. He tries.
Surely he's corner are clapping their hands to get back into the fight. They've obviously not noticed the arm.
How could they not do this? The courage of Danny Williams. We saw last night Andrew Gallotta quitting on his stool, not wanting any more. This man here is fighting for pride. He's in a no-win situation, and he will not give up.
He's got no defence, obviously, against the left hook.
And still they clap in the corner.
Yeah, they're clapping him forward. Oh, he's got him! That's unbelievable! From Williams, and Potter is out!
I don't know whether he's going to make it! That is astonishing! He's up just about! In goes Williams, fighting with one arm! He's hit Potter again! The referee stopped him! He's coming! He's down for the second time! The count's at five! Potter's got nothing left! What a turnaround! He can hardly walk!
I love it.
Mark it down. What else you got? Have you got any MMA then? Because I have no MMA. All mine's boxing.
I've got a cracker here for you. This is a good one. This is, what is this now? 2011. And the reason it stuck in my mind, it was knockout of the year for 2011 MMA. Absolutely unbelievable. It should have been comeback of the year as well. Czech Congo versus Pat Barry. Main event at UFC in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It was absolutely bonkers. It was only 2 minutes and 40 seconds
long. I was going to say, right, when we started this chat about Castillo Corrales and the round, there's only 2 minutes of this fight. This had everything in 2 minutes.
2 minutes, 40 seconds of absolute, obscene, utter nonsense. Both of them dropping each other three or four times. Congo is absolutely out on his feet. He's been knocked down. He's just about scrambling back up. Pat Barry's rushing in for the finish. And as he rushes forward, just pure reactionary. Czech Congo doesn't know what day it is, but pure reactionary. He just throws a massive shot. Pat Barry falls flat on his face, out cold. It's insane. If you've never seen it before, check out Czech Congo versus Pat Barry. It's just unbelievable. Yeah, 2 minutes and 39 seconds it is of just complete and utter mayhem.
Advantage of Congo. He's switching up his stance. Checked. Oh, my! Big right hand! Pat Barry looking to finish! It's over! Wow! Can Congo really survive?
It looked like he was out.
Oh, he is now.
He's out.
Nope. Still.
Oh, man. Mergliot is letting this go. That's incredible.
Great job done by Czech Congo. He's in big trouble, though. Barry looking to finish the fight.
Back into the world of boxing in more recent times, a man that keeps telling us that he fought in front of 80,000, knocked out St. George Groves in front of 80,000. I'm going to go for Carl Froch, not that particular fight that we're talking about, of course. I'm going to go for the Jermaine Taylor fight, which was in the Super 6. He got an absolute battering. I think it's the first fight in the Super 6 that Froch was involved in, and he got leathered. Don't get me wrong, he started to come back into it. He started to come back into the fight. You're probably looking at maybe an 8-4 or a 7-5, right, round-wise. Yeah. But going into that last round, he needed a stoppage. There was no doubt about that. All the commentators knew about it. All the fans knew about it. His corner knew about it. Froch knew about it. And he put his foot down and he threw the kitchen sink at Jermaine Taylor. And there were moments there where Jermaine's taking the shots and you're thinking, he ain't getting rid of him. He's not going to get rid of him. And then all of a sudden, he just went fucking full roadrunner on it and just threw it. The hands started going quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. And then what were it? 15 seconds remaining. Ref jumped in, stops the fight. Froch has his arm raised from the depths of defeat.
And remember, if he doesn't knock Jermaine Taylor down in this round and they don't give him a 10-8, it might still go to Jermaine Taylor. Taylor needs to stay on his feet if he can.
Still on his feet, under a minute to go.
As if you've not mentioned another Scouser from the world of boxing, actually, as of yet, because I know that you were there. I were there. Away from home as well. Away from home and quieting the crowds of Hull. Is that not on your list? Is he not there?
You know what? I deliberately kept Derry Matthews off the list.
Oh, that's filthy. I knew that he'd be there.
Because I was waiting for you to put it in your list because I thought, I can't put two Scousers in the list. That'd be absolutely ridiculous. But you're right. He's not in my list. He should be in your list.
He is in my list.
Commonwealth title fight against Tommy Coyle.
Yeah.
In Hull, loses basically 9.5 rounds. The place is absolutely bouncing. And then with one shot, boof. Derry got cut in that round as well. He got cut. And next thing, he just exploded out, caught Tommy Coyle, put Tommy to sleep in a place you could hear the pin drop. It was crazy.
Yeah. Tommy Coyle was miles ahead, man. He absolutely beat Derry up that night. Surprisingly as well, because Derry was on a tear at that time. And you think to yourself, yeah, all right. Bloody hell. Tommy Coyle's all right, isn't he? And then next thing you know, wallop. Never count Derry Matthews out. He's always got that power and he carries it to the end of the fight. Yeah, it's definitely worth noting. Derry Matthews, Tommy Coyle, it's a banger. What's your oldest one that you've got there?
The oldest one I've got, well, that's the iconic one, to be honest with you. Let me throw a quick another UFC one in there before I get to my iconic one.
Okay.
The other UFC one I had was Alistair Overeem absolutely punching Jairzinho Rosenstruck from cage fence to cage fence for five rounds. He wins the fight. He wins all four rounds. Then in the fifth round, he's winning 4.5 minutes of the fifth round as well. And then from absolutely nowhere, Rosenstruck throws a punch that takes Overeem clean off his feet.
Yeah.
Out cold.
Rips his face to bits as well, doesn't it?
His lip was hanging off. It was absolutely destructive power of Jairzinho Rosenstruck. That was one of the definitely the biggest knockouts of 2019. So I had that on my list as well.
I like that. How far does your memory go back, Nick? Do you only do 12 months? Is that what it is? Are you like a hard drive? Do you erase everything from... it's 2017 now. That's not in. No chance.
Mate, I spent a decade going on 18 to 30 holidays and going raving every weekend.
Taking its toll now.
It's taking its toll, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Can you remember Audley Harrison knocking out Michael Spratt after getting battered?
Yeah, I can actually, yeah. I can.
If you remember at the time, Audley Harrison was the big guy that everybody was pumping their money into. He had that big BBC deal. He'd obviously come off the back of the Olympic Games and all this type of stuff. And they were bigging him up. But it just never turned over, really, did it, when he moved into the professional game from his amateur game. And he was fighting Michael Spratt. Everybody remembers who Michael Spratt is. And Michael Spratt was beating him, and he was beating him bad, man. And then all of a sudden, there must have been about... Well, it was the last round, so I'd say about a minute left. And even the commentator saying, he needs something. He needs something big. He needs something big. And then all of a sudden, it was obvious what he was doing. And I can't even believe that it happened, you know, because it was the most obvious shot in the world. Because southpaw is Audley. So he's got his right hand, his jab hand. He's not out as a jab. It's a rangefinder. He's basically resting it on Sprott's head in order just to say, right, you're that far away from me. Sprott's like letting him do it. Sprott's there with his head resting on Audley Harrison's fist. And you're thinking, just move, you dickhead. Move. You won the fight. What are you doing? Move. And then Audley Harrison just lets this big left cross go, pop, right on the whiskers. See you in a bit. Ta-da. End of fight. Unbelievable. I couldn't believe it because he was trying to line it up for about 2 minutes and it was like Spratt had just given up the ghost of going, oh, I'm fucking knackered now. Like, go on then, just do it. They were like, what?
That was mental as well. Yeah. So do that in the last round. Spratt was miles ahead. That was a European title fight as well.
Wow.
Ali Pally, obviously, the home of the darts. That's where it was just insane. That was probably the pinnacle of Audley's pro boxing career. But to be that far ahead, Spratt needed shooting that night because... He'd done it. He'd done the hard work.
Go for a run.
The fight was fun, man. Just do it. Just dance away. You've beaten the Olympic champion. You've won the heavyweight champion, the European heavyweight title. It's the key to a potential world title fight. And to give up the ghost the way he did, like that, to throw it away, as you say, absolutely bonkers. But a great shot by Fraudley anyway.
And he proper put him out. It weren't like, it weren't a TKO, was it? He proper put him out.
Put him to Kip. Right, do you want my last one?
Is this one from further back than 2018? Is this,
Yeah, man. I've gone iconic.
All right.
I've gone iconic. I've gone for 1974.
Shit.
Before we were both born.
That's bullshit. You were born.
Zaire.
The rumble of the jungle.
Muhammad Ali versus George Foreman. Listen, I know this is our favourites list. I know this is our favourites comeback knockouts of all time. It's our choice rather than the number one. It's our favourite, personal favourites. But I think if we're putting any kind of list together about comebacks and one-punch knockouts, you'd be absolutely berated from all sides if you didn't include Muhammad Ali versus George Foreman.
Do you class this as a proper comeback? Because knowing what you know now, you know that he rope-a-doped him. It was tactics. He let him do his thing.
But he was still miles behind on the scorecards. Mm. And it was still a tactic that at the time, no one had ever seen it before. Nobody, including Ali's corner, knew he was going to do it. And if you get to the end of that fight and it hasn't happened and he hasn't successfully pulled off that finishing knockout blow, if George hadn't have punched himself out and been dead on his feet and just been waiting to be finished off, then it would have gone down in history as the night, you know, Ali grew old, like everyone was saying, and that Foreman was just far too ferocious and far too big a puncher. But obviously, as it turned out, Ali, being the genius that he was, knew exactly what he was doing. Doper roped up against the ropes, was miles behind, as I say, on the cards. But then in the eighth round, with George out on his feet, he explodes and gets that finish. Absolutely tremendous, and certainly one of the most iconic moments in the career of the GOAT.
Mm. Right then. Out of everything that we've discussed, what you're going to eradicate, I can only assume that you're going to put two Scousers in there. So I'll give you that, because I think Derry Matthews' comeback against Tommy Coyle was bang on, and Sam Maxwell taking care of a geezer that was giving him shit during a fight is well worth it. Danny Williams has to be in, mate. He did it with one arm.
Yes.
What else you claim? What else you claiming?
Well, it'd be nice to put an MMA one in there. It'd be nice to put Czech Congo Pat Barry in there, just because it was absolute bonkers.
All right. Are you going iconic as well?
I think so. I think, again, if we don't put Ali Foreman in there, people are going to go absolutely mental.
You're going to have to tell Frocci then. You're going to tell Frocci that he's not in it, all right? So Frocci, Jermaine Taylor's gone. Castillo Corrales has gone in there. Right, so
Rosenstruck and Overeem's gone as well.
They've gone. So here we go. Cue the music. Top five favourite fight comebacks. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll put Derry Matthews, Tommy Coyle in at number five. Yeah?
Yep.
Happy with that. In at number four, we're going to go Danny Williams with his one-arm comeback against Mark Potter. Three, a sensational 2 minutes, 40 seconds in the world of MMA. In at number two, purely because he was getting beaten up and abused verbally in the ring and mugged off, Sam Maxwell makes number two. Nobody's beating Ali. There you go. In at number one, Ali Foreman from Zaire, our number one favourite fight comeback.
Another sneaky right hand. This time he works over the shoulder of Foreman.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.